The Fabulous 413 podcast is funded by the UMass Five College Credit Union, offering co-op advantage checking with cash back on all purchases, plus secure debit card controls, all from the UMass Five mobile banking app. Insured by NCUA, umass5.coop.
Welcome to the Fabulous 413. I'm Khalees Smith.
And I'm Monty Belmonte. Later in the show, we'll hear more about this year's Sojourner Truth Memorial Committee's scholarship and the young scholars who've won it for 2025.
But first, you might have heard about this little thing NEPM is doing called the Asparagus Festival.
And you might have heard that this area along the 91 corridor used to be known as the Asparagus Valley.
Among other stories about that particular vegetable, so it's only fitting that we head to Hadley to see how the grass is growing.
Let's do a test, the skinny one versus a fat one, and see if you taste any difference.
Our digital producer, Ayu, has two spears. Ayu is eating the skinny one.
I want to say the skinny one has a little bit more flavor or sweetness to it.
What were you expecting, why?
I have no expectations.
Do you taste any difference between the skinny one and the fat one?
I don't. Sometimes the skinny ones have more fiber, and they get caught in your teeth.
Time for another local hero spotlight with Claire Morneau from CESA. We are in the heart of asparagus country with, and I hate to play favorites, but my favorite asparagus farmer, Wally Sykowski, here at Plainville Farm in the epicenter of the Valley's asparagus, Hadley, Massachusetts.
We're having a great year with asparagus.
And as we've mentioned many times, Wally is the only farmer we know that calls it asparagus, not with four syllables, asparagus. Three syllables, asparagus.
Right, that's correct.
And it's a windy day here on your farm, but tell us about how the season has been going so far, Wally.
We've been very fortunate. This is one of the best seasons we've had in years. Not too hot, plenty of rain, and asparagus loves rain, and no frost. So it's everything we could hope for.
For those who have not experienced Plainville Farm asparagus and heard about your story, you've been an integral part of the NEPM Asparagus Festival that is coming back to the Hadley Town Common on Saturday, June 7th. But how long you been doing this, Wally?
Oh, a long time. My father grew it when I was a kid, so probably 62 or 63 years.
Was asparagus as popular back then when you were a kid?
Oh, it was more popular.
Really?
Oh, more people grew it. Everybody grew it. We had release time in school. Hopkins Academy used to start an hour later during asparagus season because all the kids picked.
That's so great.
It was great.
How much asparagus do you grow, and how big a part of your overall farm business is asparagus?
We grow about 21 acres. Yeah, but it's not that big a part of it. But it gives us income in the spring and steady work for people.
And when generally does it come in?
May 2nd. We are a week early this year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking it's going to end earlier. So if we make it through the asparagus festival, we'll be lucky.
If it starts early, it ends early?
Oh, yeah. We only pick for 6 weeks. You could pick longer. What you do is you look at the asparagus. When it gets really thin and gets seedy, it's telling you, hey, we're tired. Stop picking. Asparagus, the crown is under the soil, so it comes up through the soil. And it doesn't give up. It comes again and again and again. But finally, it would just give up and die if you just kept picking it.
And Claire, you were talking about there's an asparagus meme that you've seen.
Yes, it's when you see asparagus growing, it looks like someone has tricked you, like they just stuck some asparagus stalks in the ground. But that actually is how it grows. It's just like asparagus coming out of the grass.
It's certainly the most phallic of crops.
It's phallic and it's optimistic, and I think those two things go together, right?
I'm going to go back to my farm.
I don't need to be here.
Oh, come on, you know it's true. You know it's true.
You've seen asparagus when it goes to, like, flower, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is the coolest part of the whole process, even though that's the point you can't really eat it at.
Right, when it turns into a fern. But that's the most important time of year for growing it, because it's putting all the carbohydrates in the ground for next year's crop. Like, there's nothing we can do now to affect the yield. But what we do in August, September, October is crucial.
About how much asparagus do you grow in a banner season like this?
We're happy when we get 100 boxes to the acre for a total yield.
And you said it was 21 acres?
Yeah.
So how heavy is a box usually?
25 pounds. 24 one-pound bunches in a box. But we put a little extra in to be safe.
Part of what the Asparagus Festival has done is an asparagus bunching competition.
Oh, yeah.
And you, Wally, often are in charge of that and judging it.
No, Donnie. Donnie Phil. Yeah, I'm there, but he's got personality. That's why he's the judge.
What makes for the perfect bunch of asparagus?
Well, speed is very important because you got to get it done. Then you want the tips all even, and you want the same diameter. So if it's thin, we keep it separate. If it's fatter, we keep that separate. Because different people have different likes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Khalees has...
he's given a tool.
A tool. Tell us about this tool, Wally.
Asparagus fields look so lonely when it comes to harvest time. It's like...
just a knife.
Just a knife.
Look, see how yours is longer than mine?
Yes.
Everybody's got their preference.
That's a knife.
A lot of the folks like to pick with longer-handled knives now, but I don't get it because you still got to bend down to grab it. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like it's making your life a lot easier. I think it makes you look tougher, that's all.
Fair. It definitely looks tough. It doesn't look like a knife. It looks like almost like a sword or like a spear. It's like a two-foot-long prod with a strange, like, the tail of an arrow-shaped knife on it with a little triangle cut out of it.
It's got two blade sides. One of the sides of this chevron is sharpened, and then the actual, like, chevron-y part is sharpened. So you can stab at it and cut, or you can slice at it kind of like machete-like and cut.
We don't do it a machete.
Well, that's like, just
when we were kids, everybody used to throw it and see how close they could get to their foot.
No!
Sounds smart.
Yeah. No, it was not the smartest thing in the world.
Where do you cut it, Wally? Do you cut it above the ground, or you go down a little bit?
Just a little down. You don't want to go to the side too much because you could be killing babies that haven't come up yet. Look at how close these two are. So you have to come in carefully. I didn't hurt that guy, and that's good because they're all in that one crown. This bed we're in is probably 20 years old. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you don't have to replant every year.
No.
Never.
You can get 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to wait that first, like, 2 to 3 before you see anything.
You're so right. Well, you see it, but you have to have the willpower not to pick it. Because it's like there's money in the ground, but you can't touch it because it needs to build up.
But once it's established, it'll just keep self-propagating.
We're eating it raw right out of the ground,
which
you can do. Tastes delicious.
Yep.
Everything's better fresh. Every vegetable in the world. It's too bad people don't get a chance to eat really fresh. Like sweet corn picked right in the field, or peas. Oh, my God.
The sugars turn to starches the longer something sits. Mm-hmm. Like it gets less sweet over time.
The opposite of root vegetables.
Yeah, and they can be old and they taste fantastic. Well, butternut's the same way. The longer it stays in storage, the sweeter it gets.
Speaking of butternut, that is the iconic symbol of Plainville Farm. It is a butternut squash with Wally Sykowski's face on it.
Yeah, and a hat.
Mm-hmm. Where do you sell most of your asparagus? And what happens when there's just a really big bumper year all across the valley?
This year, it is a bumper crop all around the valley. And it's not just us, but Jersey's sending in a lot. Canada's sending a lot. Washington State is sending a lot. And it's still coming from Peru. So you've got four sources of asparagus. Right now, we're selling mostly to roadside stands. But Big Y is buying it. And a few of the other chains are taking a little bit. But most of the chains want to buy from someplace really cheap. And that excludes us. And there's not as many roadside stands as there used to be, which is sad.
Can I try doing this?
All right, Khalees.
I feel bad about
Khalees has got her asparagus knife.
Which one is okay to take?
That guy right there.
Right.
Right, the weird looking one.
You know why it's shaped that way? Pick it. Go ahead, pick it.
A little bit below the surface.
Yep. You did it.
Nailed it.
All right.
You're hired.
No, wait. It gets better. Look at the windsock.
Oh, yeah.
Now look at the way it was bent. No, it tells you which way the wind has been blowing.
Yep, that's awesome.
See? How cool is that?
It is cool.
It looks like a dragon's tail.
Dragon tails.
Hang on, it's dusty.
That dirt is all vitamins. All vitamins.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Robert Kennedy wants us to eat all dirty stuff, right? I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But I'm not swimming in a filthy brook. I got beaver fever one time.
Whoa.
Ooh. Oh, man, are you sick when you get that.
Oh, my word.
Is asparagus your favorite thing that you grow?
Yeah.
Is that true even in the fall? You're thinking back on asparagus season, or are you, like, on butternut?
I'm on butternut.
Khalees is swinging that giant asparagus knife like nobody's business.
It's incredibly empowering.
What can you tell us about just, like, the history of asparagus in the valley? You said that you used to get out of school early to cut asparagus because all the kids did it. But this is, you know, it's called Hadley Grass. This is a region
you're
that's
luck,
famous to tell us about it.
Donnie Phil is bunching, and he can tell you so much more.
Yeah.
Because he's a few months older than me.
And that makes all the difference.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. Wallace Hibbert actually saved asparagus in the valley. When Fusarium first came in, and the yield started to drop.
That's a plant disease.
Oh, yeah. It's a soil-borne disease. Mm-hmm. So everybody said, forget it. We're not going to grow this anymore. And it was getting harder to get help. But Wallace Hibbert said, no, we've got to keep doing asparagus. So he tried to get other people to plant, and he kept planting. And he saved it. His asparagus went to the Queen of England.
Oh,
she took it every year.
That's a famous story.
It is a famous story.
So that's a real story.
It's an honest-to-God story.
Okay.
When was that?
Donnie will remember.
Let's go ask Donnie.
Forget it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
Coming up, we'll meet Donnie Phil and more with Wally Sykowski of Plainville Farm and Claire Morneau of CESA as we get to witness a nearly 100-year-old asparagus trimming machine do its thing, and we'll hear how issues with ice are hitting close to their farm.
After which, we'll fight for a better future and present with folks from the Sojourner Truth Memorial Committee.
You're listening to The Fabulous 413 on 88.5 NEPM.
The Fabulous 413 podcast is funded by Northeast Solar, offering solar options, energy security, and solutions for the local community. Learn more at northeast-solar.com. The Fabulous 413 podcast is funded by Window World of Western Mass, a local family business with experienced craftsmen offering wood, vinyl, and composite windows. WindowWorldOfWesternMA.com.
Favorite way to eat asparagus, Claire Morneau from CESA?
I like to make a pizza that has a white sauce, and then you put asparagus and really, really thinly sliced lemon on it. And the sauce has to be garlicky.
Go out and get Toom and use
that.
Yeah,
Toom works.
It is this Middle Eastern garlic sauce. It's just garlic. You blend it until it's creamy, and it is the most amazing tasting thing. If you make it yourself, you'll understand why it's expensive when you buy it.
IU, our digital producer, favorite way to eat asparagus?
Well, it's pretty simple. Growing up, I would always eat it just sauteed with a bunch of lemon and garlic. It's just perfect that way.
Wally, apart from just cutting it out of the field and eating it that way?
Two favorite ways. One is grilled. My wife grills it, and I just love it when it gets a little brown. And then the other thing is creamed asparagus on toast, which nobody mentions anymore. But when we were growing up, we ate that every day, but on white bread. Mm-hmm. But now if you go and get some really good bread, it's way better.
Wait, what's your favorite?
I also prefer, I almost all the time, grilled asparagus, a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper. But I've now been sometimes drizzling a truffle oil on it and shaving some Parmesan on top of it too.
Oh, nice.
So, extra fancy.
Extra fancy. Sometimes I'll get prosciutto and prosciutto wrap them
that's
too.
That's so much work though.
Yeah. But worth it.
I don't pick favorites, especially because I'm always finding new things, because new stuff keeps your brain running and also invites you to find your new favorite thing. And, like, one of the things I'm experimenting with is asparagus kimchi.
Oh.
No. I don't think that's legal.
We'll find out, Wally.
All right, now we're back in the packing shed at Plainville Farm here in Hadley, talking with Wally Sykowski about asparagus in anticipation of the NEPM Asparagus Festival, Saturday, June 7th. We hear you're a few months older than Wally, so he has tried to push all of the history of asparagus onto you. But we want to hear the story about Wallace Hibbert sending asparagus to the Queen of England and when that was.
That would be Wally's question, because Wally, I heard about it, but you know that Wally did see
it. Yeah, yes. Told me the story many times. I want you to see this, Marcus. This, and the date is what, 1930? Back in the old days, people didn't want to buy the thins. So Wallace Hibbert came up with the idea of calling it the tinder shoot, and he put this label on all the thins. And bam, people started to buy it.
Marketing.
Yes, it's exactly right.
When the machine cut this, this is what I take this, and this is how I did it.
What do you think that Tony Tudor probably made that?
In that was 75 years ago.
Oh, more than that. I'm going to say around 1930, Don.
Yeah,
so the machine, it looks like a medieval torture device to a certain degree, but it's a wheel with a bicycle wheel around it, and it's loaded with asparagus.
It's like a quarter horsepower engine.
No. That's a one horsepower, but wait. If this thing ever dies, we will never get a part.
This motor is over 100 years old.
Look at the size of this. I know that motor weighs more than 100 pounds.
So it's a one-horsepower motor hooked up to a belt and a bicycle wheel. It spins this giant wheel, and this is so that you can cut the asparagus evenly?
Yeah.
Asparagus goes around in a circle, gets cut perfectly.
Yes.
When I was 14 years old, I used to run this machine,
uh-huh.
And I'm 77.
Wow. Same machine.
Same machine.
See how good a shape you stay in if you eat asparagus?
Same setup. Just flick this, you're going to see this turn.
Perfect.
That's how it was done 65 years ago.
Yeah. And it's still done that way today?
It is still done that way today.
Wally, tell us about who is working here and some of the troubles that you've been encountering as of late, given the current political climate.
Well, it's mostly Hispanic folks working here this time of year. There's a few people from Jamaica, but most of the Jamaican and Guatemalan guys come later for harvesting tobacco.
Uh-huh.
We've been fortunate. Nobody here has been picked up by ICE, but we hear stories almost on a daily basis of people being detained. And the weird thing is, a lot of the people that are being detained have green cards. They're in this country legally. But I think they have quotas or something, so they have to grab so many people a week. It's just a shame. It's a shame. And the thing is, so if you do deport somebody or put them in a detention center, what about their family that's left behind? I mean, who's going to support them?
You had an employee who was working here who's moved on to a different job that got picked up in Springfield.
He got picked up at about 6:30 in the morning. It was a Thursday or a Friday. They always do this on the end of the week, which makes me think quotas. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed him because he was outside. If you don't have a warrant, you can't go into somebody's house and grab them. But once people are walking out of their houses to their vehicles to start their day's work, you can grab them.
And he was roofing, and they just grabbed him before he went on the roof?
Yeah, he was walking to his van with his two employees, and they grabbed all three of them.
And then what happened to him?
He went to a detention center in Boston, but nobody knew where he was for about 3 or 4 days until he could call his family here in Springfield. And he stayed there for a month. Finally, they hired a pretty decent lawyer, and he got released. He's got
it was
go
expensive,
back.
And it he had a green card.
Yes, exactly.
Everything about him was legal.
And the thing is, he was not a drug dealer. He's very religious. He doesn't even drink, which amazes me.
For roofers. Okay. Every roofer I know has a problem.
Right. Well, he was an anomaly there, I guess.
But for a month.
Yes, for a month.
And then they have to pay $5,000 to get him out, even though everything about what he was doing was totally legal.
Correct. I just feel bad seeing people get screwed over. And in my opinion, they're just getting screwed over. And it's just for optics. That's really what it is optics.
Uh-huh. At CISA, we've been hearing stories about people who are carrying their passports, who are carrying various documentation with them to work in the fields. People who are here with documentation just because they know that there's been a lot more ICE activity. People are afraid of being harassed. They're afraid of being arrested and detained and not being given due process rights because we've seen that those are being withheld from a lot of people. Or they're concerned that maybe they will get due process, but it'll take a month and they'll be in jail that whole time or they'll be, you know, detained that whole time. What we've been hearing from farmers and, you know, on behalf of farm workers at CISA is just about a lot of fear, people who are worried about going to work regardless of their immigration status because of these crackdowns that are happening. And, you know, the other thing is that people's status is being changed by the federal government all the time. You know, people who are here with documentation, we're seeing asylum being stripped away. We're seeing all sorts of protections for people who have taken various pathways into the country being removed. So people who have been here illegally, now they aren't. And, you know, I think a lot of people have the sense like, oh, well, if you just come here the right way, then what do you have to worry about? And what the current administration's doing is showing that that is just completely untrue. People's status can be changed really quickly and without warning and without cause. So the effect across the food system, across communities all over the place is just really terrorizing for a lot of people.
And that's on top of people not necessarily understanding how troubled the immigration system was before this even happened. You can be doing all of the right things and still be sitting on someone's desk for like 8, 9, 15 years.
Isn't that amazing how long it can take? I know people who've been trying to get their green card for almost a decade. And it's hung up on trivia, just trivia.
In the meantime, what are they doing? They are going to work, they're paying taxes, they're raising families, and that's
essentially
it.
Being model citizen.
You summed it up right there. They're doing everything right, and they're being penalized for it.
I did everything right, and they indicted me.
Wally, people might say, oh, well, you know, they're not doing it right. They're not coming across legally. Why don't farmers in the valley just hire American-born citizens to do the work in the field? How important is the immigrant labor population for what you do here? What did Donnie say from over there?
You're kidding.
Come over here, Donnie. Get involved in this conversation.
Well, you're talking Hibbert Farm, and I'm talking 13, 14, 15-year-old boys and girls.
Yeah.
He would have probably 40 to 50 of them. If you try to get 40 or 50 kids today to work on a farm, you'd never do it. Hibbert would have a truck that would leave over here in North Alley, make a circle, and pick up the kids in Amherst, in the morning, they work, and at the end of the day, he would circle back and take everybody home again. Mm-hmm. You can take a truck now to Amherst. You won't even find 40 kids on a, never mind anywhere that would work.
Also, child labor laws have changed to a certain degree. So, you know, given the circumstances right now, Wally, what would it be like here without migrant labor?
Well, we wouldn't be firemen.
Do you know any farmers that would be able to do it without the migrant population?
Yeah.
The ones that had 17 kids,
says Donnie. You have to make your own labor force.
That
emphasis on the labor.
That's why years ago, a family in this area had 4, 5, 6 children.
Yeah.
Now you try to bring up 4, 5, 6 children. It's going to be tough to bring up 4, 5, 6 children. But back then, they had the children for the labor.
Yeah. Wally Sikowski, Plainville Farm, and Hadley, the reigning champ of asparagus, in my opinion. What makes Hadley asparagus the best asparagus? And I know we've had this conversation across the river with other people in Sunderland and other places. They say no, but America says yes. What makes Hadley asparagus the best?
It's our soil. And you all got to taste some of it, right? And you feel the better for it.
Just like kids, a little bit of dirt is good for you.
Rub some dirt on it.
Everybody, please go to the Asparagus Festival.
What has that meant for the culture of asparagus in the valley?
I think it's really helped. It gets people to think about it. And you take your kids to a fun time with asparagus, what more do you want?
NEPM Asparagus Festival coming up again, Hadley Town Common, Saturday, June 7th. Wally will be there. We have the bunching competition happening again.
There's going to be a lot of farms there selling asparagus, selling other stuff. It's a good time.